Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 723. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. I've got caffeine running through my veins, and Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, my sidekick, he's in the other room chilling, looking out the window. I've got new neighbors moving in. I guess I can't be cranking the guitar amp anymore. I didn't really take advantage of it when I didn't have neighbors on both sides. Because, you know, I was still painting and such. Still painting. I did a little bit of painting earlier, but this painting is a lot easier. I'm doing some spray painting. Very little of it. Although, I haven't been leaving the garage door open while doing so. And so, it's a little fumey in there. I stay, you know, just in there for a couple of minutes at a time spraying. And I should probably leave the garage door open when I do that. But, you know. I weld all day. What is a few more paint fumes going to do to me that I haven't already done with all the welding and such? I've got the outfield Your Love stuck in my head because I was watching a TikTok earlier where they were zoning in on the lyrics, of course, where Josie's on a vacation far away. Come on over, we'll talk it over. But just talking about, you know, having a one-night stand while Josie's on vacation, implying that, you know, his girlfriend is, you know, abroad. And you're just like, hey, I want to fuck somebody just for tonight. Just want to use it. New Year's Eve tonight. Man, I'm really amped. I had a Red Bull, and I had a large Red Bull. I shouldn't have done that. I should be trying to cut back on this shit. But I just worked 6 days this week in the heat. And that shit just tires me, man. It tires me out. And, yeah, it's. I needed a kick in the ass because I wanted to record this, and I'm working on doing some spray painting as well as I'm finishing up. I've got the light up poster frames hung as of last week. I already had it done by the podcast that I've got the 5-inch by 25-inch posters that you see above movie theater doors as you're walking into the right theater for the which movie you're picking of that night. It's just like that. They light up and hanging those above my sliding glass door, which I guess they're already hung. But as of last week, I had issues where I had hung a power strip up and I got them light up. I ran power to them, but I had mounted the power strip on the front of the wall where the only stud was, you know, when you can only find one stud, but it's not the right stud for you, you know? And I had that issue and, it didn't occur to me until I, you know, had it hung on there, the power strip. That I didn't quite take into account how far the power adapters were going to hang off the wall once plugged into the power strip. They were good at least like 2 inches sticking out from the wall. And I couldn't have that. I wanted to be back further and to hide it a little bit. As before I had that ceiling part like painted red too, as like the wall. And so I ended up tearing that down. The power strip. I was afraid I was going to have to either break the power strip or the wall, like trying to get it off. I had ordered a different power strip, which the new power strip is much better fit. I managed to yank that power strip off the ceiling, and somehow, well, the issue was the screws that I used for it were actually a little bit bigger than the holes were on the power strip to hang it onto. And because of that, it was really snug and a bitch to get off. I basically hung myself from not, you know, with a noose, but I grabbed it with my hands and then, you know, took my feet off the wall like I was climbing and just hung all of my weight onto the power strip to get that fucker off the wall, off the ceiling. And I was afraid too that like the the plastic that the power strip is encased in was just going to like snap into like, you know, a bunch of pieces and shrapnel was going to go into my hands. But thankfully that did not happen. Somehow I managed to not just like shatter the power strip. And I didn't fuck up the wall or ceiling in the process. So win-win there. Then I, of course, I had to take those screws out and then fill it with drywall compound because I don't want my ceiling and wall looking all fucked up after doing all that work. And so then I painted it black, that ceiling part that's like just above the door. And of course, there's a wall right above that and then, you know, the main ceiling above that. So, and then just, I could tell that I was glad that I had done that and not gone with keeping that power strip up and having those, for one, having those power adapters just hanging off the wall, basically. Painting that area black just made the dimensions really show up. It made it look like a more 3D. You know, obviously it's a three-dimensional wall anyway, but when you have it all painted the same color red, you don't notice it as much. But man, when you have a contrast between black and red, there's a big contrast there. And it just, it's like going to and watching a 3D movie where shit's just jumping right at you. And all of those posters that are hung on the wall just seem like they're coming right at you. And I thought, man, it just made that look so much better. Just that. Now, I did mount the new power strip on there, which is on there pretty good. I ended up taking and cutting a piece of plywood to the same measurements as the power strip. And then I used a really nice drywall anchor that was rated for a ton of weight, way more than what I needed. And drilled a hole, a half inch hole. I had to put a big ass hole in the ceiling in the fucking drywall or the plywood and to be able to get that thing mounted. And, I did fuck up a little bit. I put nails in that plywood and through the drywall. So, I mean, it's really connected to the ceiling there. I mean, it's connected good. That shit ain't going nowhere. once I figured out where the nails were supposed to go, I put it where the holes were from on the back of the power strip. But what I didn't take into account is that you have to slide it into place once you hit it in, and I hit it where you start putting the nails in, not where the nails final place is. So it's actually like an eighth of an inch off. Which is a little annoying that I got like an eighth of an inch gap in the front, but you don't really notice it because it's all painted black. The ceiling's painted black there. The power strip's black. I don't think it's really noticeable. You can't see the back of the thing anyway, so you don't know that, you know. It could be that I just made the plywood, you know, bigger than the rest of it. I don't think you really notice it if I weren't to tell you that beforehand. Now I have the issue I've got to deal with all the wires. That's a little bit of a challenge. Like, everything I've worked on in the downstairs ends up being, you know, a bit more work than really, you know, I ever intended it to be. Although I knew this was going to be that sort of situation. I didn't have any illusions about there being, you know, issues with doing this. Though now that I've got the power back to those, man, the thought of, you know, putting a few holes in the walls and actually running the electric through the walls is almost enticing because it would be so much nicer to have a light switch that controlled those instead of the power switch on the power strip to go over there and hit that. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to put holes in my walls and have to run electric for that. That's a no-go. That's too much work. I think once I get the wires covered with the plastic covers I got, I think it's just gonna, I'll forget about it quickly, about having that light switch thing. That'll be a no-go. Who knows though? Once I get it, maybe be like, you know what, I gotta figure out how to run some electric through the walls for that. No, I'm not doing it. I'm going on the record right now, I'm not doing that. Yeah, the issue I'm running into right now is I've got the dimmer switch is kind of the more of the problem. There is a dimmer switch that is maybe an inch by an inch, maybe a little over. I don't think it's quite 2 inches. And it's about a square-ish, not looking at it, I'm kind of guessing. It's got, you know, big knob on it. It takes up, it's like an inch squared, like cube-ish. So it's a nice size, like, dimmer switch. And, you know, it's not at one end of the cord or the other. It is, like, in six or seven inches in from the cord. Maybe not quite that much, but like there's, if only it was closer to where the power adapter is. I wish I would have gotten something that didn't have the dimmer switch. I did consider still a possibility. I don't think I'm going to do this because it's going to be at least like $10 for each adapter. So that's another $40. I'd rather not do that for some adapters. But I thought about getting some that didn't have the dimmer switch because that, again, I'm mounting this on a ceiling. And so I've got adhesive strips that I can put on the backs of those and connect them to the wall. But I don't want to start doing that. I want to make sure I route the wires exactly where I want them and know that, okay, that is where it's going before I fucking do any adhesive to the ceiling there, because I don't want to end up ripping any fucking drywall off or anything, like trying to redo this shit at some point. So that could be, you know, a bit of a challenge. I've cut to size the wire covers that I'm going to be using for the ceiling. I haven't done it, figured it out for the wall or just the main power cord for the power strip. I haven't done that yet. I still need to kind of figure that out exactly how I'm going to do that. I ended up having to order another set of those wire covers too, because it looks like I'm going to go through more than I really wanted to or thought I was going to need. Of course, I didn't know. I just kind of guesstimated. I'm like, let's see what it comes in a kit. And just how much wires I'm really going to have to cover. But I have spray painted several of the covers black. And some of them are drying currently as I'm recording this. And so hopefully by the time I'm done recording this, they're covered enough and dry enough to where I could start attaching this shit to the ceiling. And because it is bothering me now that I've got those lights up there and that... the shit's not, the wires are just like drooping everywhere. It's just a big mess of wires at the moment. It just, it looks bad. It's like an octopus hanging from a ceiling. The power strip with the adapters on it does take up a fair amount of room. It looks a little weird. I think I'll be fine with that on the ceiling, but I'm not too crazy about that. Being there. And they do have some small red lights on it, but I think once I'm hoping once the wires are covered, like I'll get over that. I did have, you know, a pretty exciting thing come in from eBay, of course. Holy shit, man! I'm just flopping over to Micro Center. I'll get to that here in a second. Holy fuck! But anyway, I got a. Predator poster. I've got, man, eBay is killing me with these posters. They got so many good posters to buy of those 5-inch by 25-inch posters. They're so cool. And I won a bid on the Predator one last week. And so I got a Predator one in so I can get the Chapa, you know? The Predator. And of course, it's the original. It's with Arnold on it. And it looks so nice in the when it's lit up. So those lit up posters, man, fantastic. It's of course says, "Soon the hunt will begin," and it's Arnold with the infrared light that the Predator's looking through, and a target over him. Pretty classic with the grenade launcher. Like I think that's an M16 with a grenade launcher on the barrel. I can't really tell. Is that an M16? not sure. I'm guessing it's an M16. That would be like the main, you know, kind of the U.S. military at that time. But maybe it's not an M16. I don't remember. It's been a minute since I watched Predator. That original Predator, pretty fantastic. Now, I got to stop looking at eBay, I think is the problem, because I've just found so many posters that are fantastic. They've got one for Chud. I forgot what that stands for. But Chud, let's look it up. I got to pull that back up on IMDb here. Yeah, Chud. Where does it say it? Damn it. Say the what that stands for. Oh, here we go. Cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers. And it's just like this Chud coming out of the sewer. That just looks fantastic. It is such a sweet poster. It is on their movie poster. A recent article in New York newspaper reported that there were large colonies of people living under the city. The paper was incorrect. What is living under the city is not human. Chud is under the city. Now, I watched this when I was a kid, but honestly, I don't really remember much. I just remember the poster. John Hurt, Daniel Stern, and I think John Goodman is also in it. Yeah, John Goodman is also in it. And released by the pictures. Was he not that big of a character? That's clearly John Goodman. And I would think, I mean, this was early 80s, so I guess John Goodman wasn't that big yet. I mean, Roseanne is what really put Goodman on the map. Like, he had done a few things, of course, before that. I want to see John Goodman's in here. Am I wrong? Yeah, okay. He's Cop and Diner. So, yeah, he doesn't even have a name. So his character is real, real small and Chud. But, I mean, St. Louis native, too, by the way. Be great to run into him one day. Love me some John Goodman. I don't know if he ever goes to the Blues games. I don't know if he's a hockey fan. I mean, I realize he's a big St. Louis guy, you know. But, oh, yeah. The pictures of this movie are so fantastic. Oh, I got to get me some Chud, though. Chud is... I'm going to have to go back and watch Chud. Because, again, I don't remember jack shit about Chud. Just that it's a great name. Cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers. Chud. That's a... anyway, they also have, like, original Superman, the first Superman with Keanu Reeves. Or Keanu Reeves, sorry. As far as I know, there's no Superman with Keanu Reeves. Christopher Reeves. Holy fuck, my brain is retarded. Breathing and welding fumes. I have, yeah, it is, my brain is just fucked, man. What can I say? I'm old, and I was just breathing in paint fumes. That probably didn't help things. I'd like that original Superman with Keanu Reeves. God damn it, I said it again. Christopher Reeves, who, you know, unfortunately had the horse riding accident where he was in a, you know, wheelchair for the rest of his, you know, quite a few years of his life. And big supporter of stem cell research. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. As far as I know, he's not in the Epstein files. But you know what? Maybe let's figure that out right now. Let's see here. Let's go to the government Department of Justice here. Is Christopher Reeves? Yeah, there's the R-U-8. As soon as you go onto the Epstein files on the DOJ's website, it asks if you're 18 years or older. And to figure out, you just hit yes. That is how you determine that. Let's see. Christopher. Oh, shit. I can't spell. Hold on. Superman. Maybe just put in super. Oh, man, I'm afraid to type in Superman in the Epstein files. That would Dude, I haven't watched anything with the old. I haven't watched those old. Oh, it's Christopher Reeve, not Reeves, plural. Maybe that would fuck it up if I searched. What's it here? Copy and paste this. Make sure I spelled that right. Because I am stupid. Clearly, my brain doesn't work so well anymore. Christopher Reeve. Here we go. There's just references to movies. It doesn't see it. I was hoping he wasn't like hanging out with Stephen Hawking on Epstein Island, because of course Stephen Hawking was for some reason hanging out on Epstein Island after he was already in the wheelchair and shit. It's kind of fucked up. Major Studio Partners Film Fund. Boy, that's not telling me a whole lot. There's a lot to go through here. I don't think it has anything to do with Christopher Reeve's name. Is I guess it doesn't appear that he was doing what the fuck. It's just about a movie studio and talking about different movies that were made. That has nothing to do with the man himself. So I can rest easy tonight knowing if I get a poster of the original Superman with Christopher Reeve, that it won't be soiled by the fact that he was hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein. As far as I know, at least he's not in the files that have been released. I mean, there's all kinds of them that haven't been. Maybe they're going to protect Superman, you know? But I would hope not that Christopher Reeves, he seemed like he was, you know, a decent fella. Though, I don't know. I never met the guy. Never met the guy. But that was my first, you know, superhero, as far as like the first superhero movie I remember watching. You know, I was aware of superheroes, you know, cartoons and comics and such. Of course, that movie came out. Shit, that was, I think, before that. 78. That came out 3 years. Or 3 years before I was born. So, I mean, I was born into a world. Superman 2 came out in 1980, so I was still a year from being born. But then the Richard Pryor one, which I think I saw in the theater, although I was 2 years old. I feel like I probably saw that one in the theater. I couldn't say for sure. I think my first real memories come around like 4. And even that, it's just kind of like, it's like vague pictures and stuff. The Superman 4, that was the crazy one. That one came out where he's got the soul, or the sun, the enemy that gets the power from the sun. And there's, I think that's the one where Superman, Christopher Reeve, that, flies around the planet to go back and to make the planet go back in time. Maybe that's part 3 with Richard Pryor. Love me some Richard Pryor. When the hell did part 4 come? Oh, 87. I would have been 6. I probably went and saw that one in the theater. I would have been early movie theater experience, but I was definitely seeing movies in the theater by that point. I might try. There's a... I don't have their email address. I threw away the paper that had their email address. But one of the sellers that I'd gotten those posters from on eBay, I think it's Movie Mylars. Maybe they have it on their eBay account, like what their email is. I'm not sure. But they have their email listed on this flyer and saying that if I had any particular movies I was looking for, to email them. And I might just have to do that, because there's a few that I would like to have. I mean, I'd like to have a fuck ton of them. And I only have 4 light up frames. I'm not getting more of those. They're pretty pricey. But what I'd like to do is what the ones I would like to get are the movie Airplane, which is, you know, one of my favorite all-time comedies. Is just fantastic. you get Lloyd Bridges in there, where his line in there, Jimmy Cro-Magnon was saying to me earlier, that, I picked the wrong time to stop sniffing glue. which actually, Airplane's a shot-for-shot remake of a movie from like the 50s, I believe. Holy shit, that movie's so fucking classic. And the second one's funny, but the first one, holy fuck. Shelley and I used to watch that all the time when we were kids. We had it on a Laserdisc, the old Laserdisc, the massive, fuck, they were like, they were big. I forgot how big, probably like 16 inches by 16 inches-ish. They were like squares that the disc was inside. I mean, the things were fucking at least the size of a record, at least the Laserdiscs were. So it was basically like you'd have like a record sleeve that you'd stick into your Laserdisc player and play it there. But it was a lot like DVD. Although there wasn't that much information saved on one side, you'd have to flip them over, if I remember correctly. I think they were like double-sided. Of course, it's been, 30 plus years, 40 years at this point, 30 something years since I had a Laserdisc player. And so my memory of it's not that great, but you could skip, like, I think there was like being able to like skip scenes and shit. I think. I know that, fast forwarding and rewinding was a lot easier with the Laserdisc. There was the scene where Robert Stack is driving to the airport. And Robert Stack, man. Because, I had known Robert Stack growing up from the Unsolved Mysteries show. And he was just Mr. Serious. Robert Stack. I don't have a Robert Stack impression. Which he's also, like, I love Robert Stack as a straight... Oh, there's Agent Fox Mulder. He's saying hi. You like Robert Stack, man? We never discussed this before. I'm not sure his thoughts on Robert Stack. Maybe I should try to throw a toy out for him, see if he comes to... Hey, you want that? There's some rubber washers at him his way. Let's see. He likes to play with those. Maybe that'll keep him occupied. Anyway... Robert Stack, growing up, like he was an actor before Unsolved Mysteries. Like he had done, I think, several movies and such. But I knew Robert Stack mainly from Unsolved Mysteries. Hell, the poster or the picture of him on IMDb, I'm pretty sure that's from Unsolved Mysteries. But he had done, I believe, quite a few things before Unsolved Mysteries, but he did Unsolved Mysteries forever. I imagine it had to be quite a nice paycheck. Fox, come here, buddy. Come here. Come here, sir. Ugh. Come hang out on the desk and bite me like you usually do. Anyway, Robert Stack was so good in like comedy. I thought that just an Airplane. He's so deadpan, Mr. Serious, and his part in Joe versus the Volcano is also fantastic, which would be another fucking great movie for me to have a Mylar on. Damn it. I got to stop looking up all these old movies. I'm like, holy fuck. I'm going to spend a fortune on getting all these goddamn posters. Anyway, Fox and Nate Air. The scene in Airplane that Shelley and I would just watch over and over again, there's a scene where Robert Stack is driving to the fucking airport and he's got a passenger with him. And it's just them in a car with like a projector screen in the background. That's supposed to be them actually driving. But it's clearly just like stock footage of like land, stuff passing by and somebody driving. And then, but then out of the blue, there's just like he hits somebody on a bicycle and he just bangs up, no, flips over the car. Robert Stack doesn't move, doesn't just like normal driving around, doesn't react to it at all. The passenger's like, holy shit, what the fuck? He just hit that guy. And then that guy on the bicycle gets up and he's like, fuck you, asshole. As a kid, That was I haven't seen Airplane in many, many years. It's probably been a couple decades at this point. But I would imagine I would still laugh pretty hard at that scene, because I mean, Robert Stack's just delivery in that scene is so fantastic. As Agent Mulder keeps rubbing the microphone. One problem of getting him here up on the desk, but you know, he's, oh, buddy, calm down, man. Calm down, sir. Here, you want to play with your toys? Play with the toys, man. You want the mouse? Play with the mouse? Come on, buddy. Chill out, man. Anyway. So, yeah, Airplane. That'd be a great one to have. And I did mention, too, earlier that Lloyd Bridges, love me some Lloyd Bridges. He's fantastic in Airplane. And he plays a great moron. And he was actually in an episode of Three Stooges back in the day. I think it was just like a bit part. I mean, he was super young at the time of the Three Stooges. I don't remember if it was Curly era or what it was. I'm going to have to pull up Lloyd Bridges. Of course, Lloyd Bridges is the father to the legend that is Jeff Bridges, the dude himself, and of course, Beau Bridges. But the more importantly, Jeff Bridges, the dude, the Big Lebowski, which I guess he wouldn't be the Big Lebowski. He'd be the smaller Lebowski. Anyway. let's see here. I think Lloyd Bridges, the Three Stooges, might have been like one of his, maybe even like his first role on screen. Perhaps not. I mean, it was, he had to be super young. I mean, Lloyd Bridges has been passed away for quite some time now. He's, you know, be pretty fucking old if he was fairly old, I think, when he passed. But I mean, he was been around a while, but damn it, I cannot find I'm gonna have to search it, I guess, whereas I am not seeing. Every time I say Nazi, you know, it's a little too close to Nazi. It throws me off. But I'm going to have to, I guess, copy, paste a search with, I mean, I could type Lloyd Bridges, but just do Three Stooges here. Maybe we'll do that on my phone, because Fox is in the way of my my fucking keyboard here, making things a little difficult. But let's see here. Lloyd Bridges, Three Stooges. Oh, Fox has got the mouse. Lloyd Bridges, Three Stooges. There we go. Three Stooges. What is the part? I don't want the AI. Maybe I should hit minus AI. I forgot to do that. It's in. Oh, he's in They Stooge to Conga, the 1943. Episode. I think he's just an operator, or he's on the phone. But he's telephone customer number 2. That's what he is. He's not an operator. They Stooge to Conga. I don't know if what it is. Curly is in there. It is Curly, not Curly Joe, but Curly Howard. I thought it was the Curly era. That to me, that's the best era. I know Mr. Bruce Campbell, who just had a birthday. He's still shimping. He's a fan of the shimp. I love Mr. Bruce Campbell, but I'm a Curly man. They Stooge to Conga. Let's see what Wikipedia says about it. It's been forever since I've seen it. Oh, that's one of the Nazi ones. Yes, yeah. I need to go back and watch those. Those are the best ones. They Stooge Conga is a 1943 short subject directed by Del Lord, starring American slapstick comedy team The Three Stooges, Mo Howard, Larry Fine, and Curly Howard. It is the 67th entry in the series released by Columbia Pictures, starring the comedians who released 190 shorts for the studio between 1934 and 1959. let's find out what the plot is. The Stooges are inept repairmen who undertake the task of repairing the doorbell of a sprawling residence, unaware that it serves as the clandestine headquarters for a group of Nazi agents. Led by the formidable Hans, despite their earnest efforts, the Stooges inadvertently wreak havoc within the premises, causing extensive damage to the house's infrastructure and unwittingly disrupting the city's telephone wire system. Subsequently, Mo and Larry confront Hans and his Japanese counterpart, seizing the opportunity to impersonate prominent wartime figures, Adolf Hitler and Hideki Tojo, by assuming their attire, which, if I remember correctly, gets a little racist, but you know, 'twas the times. Utilizing strategic subterfuge, the Stooges assert their authority by wrestling control of the hostile submarine and engineering its destruction via remote manipulation. This tactical maneuver results in the entrapment of the enemy operatives, ultimately leading to their defeat as the Stooges prevail in overpowering their adversaries. They stooged a conga. Little Lloyd Bridges action. Lloyd Bridges. He was 85 when he passed. He was 98 when he left this plane of existence. Well, I knew it was a long time ago, but shit, I thought maybe he cracked into the 2000s era. But apparently not. Apparently not. Lloyd Bridges, though. Yeah, man, look at these young pictures of him. Man, he was a looker back in the day, that Lloyd Bridges. And he was in a fuck ton of movies, of course. Here he is in Hot Shots Part 2. That is not a young Lloyd Bridges. Him with the lightsaber taking on Saddam Hussein. I don't know the young Lloyd Bridges era. I haven't seen that, like the him and Three Stooges is definitely something I saw, but again, that was just a little, he just get a slight glimpse of Mr. Lloyd Bridges in that. Airplane was about as young as I'm used to, like Lloyd Bridges, and he was already kind of old at that point. So many great scenes in Airplane, though, man. You got the scene where the woman's freaking out, so like everybody on the plane's taking turns, like slapping the shit out of her. I mean, you know, different times. But it was a bit of a joke, you know. And there's the her name eludes me, but the woman from the Brady Bunch that talks jive. That part's pretty great. I mean, the whole Leslie Nielsen. I mean, holy shit! And just so much good stuff. They have a almost said Hakeem Olajuwon one, but no, the Lakers center. God damn it. Anyway, let's see here. Airplane, motherfucker. I got to get some work done on my HVAC unit. It's taking me out of my whole thing here because there's a little squeaking going on. I'm not sure what it is. I think maybe it's the filter. I ordered the wrong filters last time. I think it might be those filters get kind of stuck in there. I think maybe that's the issue. I did get some better filters now. I was just waiting until the first of the month to put in the new one. So I'm hoping that's the issue, why it's making some kind of weird noise. But I think it's because that filter's kind of stuck in there. I feel like if I yank that fucker out, it'll quit doing that, hopefully. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that's the Lakers center. Those blanket on. It definitely wasn't Will Chamberlain. But holy hell, fucking Airplane. I also need to get Hobo with a Shotgun. That would be a great movie poster, but goddamn, there's so many good posters that I could get, you know. And Chud, man, I need to get me some Chud. I need me some Chud in my life. One of the most annoying parts is that there are some posters on eBay that you can just outright do a bid on. Or, you know, buy now instead of putting a bid on for an auction. But the auction shit drives me insane. because people put it on their watch list and they won't bother to put a bid in until there's like a minute left on that fucker. And it is possible that, you know, whoever's selling it could have a second account just to put bids on stuff to really make you raise the interest and try to just jack up the price right at the end so you can go, oh fuck, I gotta outbid him now. And that's just not cool, man. Apparently a friend. We'll just say a friend. Not me. I'd never sell anything on eBay. But used to sell a lot of shit on eBay, my friend, that is. would then go on to have a second account that was just not for selling things, but to go and bid on this when there he would only do so when there was already interest in whatever item he was selling, but like wait till the auction was getting fairly close to the end and then jack the bid up. Not by enough to where like, oh shit, somebody's gotta either raise it, or and then if he did end up winning the bid via that, he would then cancel it, and then like it would go to the person that bid on it last. So sometimes it wouldn't work for him, but I wouldn't feel kind of I feel kind of dirty just talking about that. But the movie posters though that I'd like to get, Airplane of course, Hobo's the Shotgun, and Joe versus the Volcano would be one I would definitely want to have. That first Superman with Christopher Reeves though, always got to put no S at the end, Josh. It looks pretty nice. I just like the error of that movie poster, those older looking posters. I like the more vintage looking movie posters, honestly. Just like Chud. Some newer movie posters are cool, but for the most part, I love like the old stuff. Totally dig me old stuff. Just like talking about that, like makes me feel like I want to go on eBay. Although I know pretty much what's on there right now for those posters. There's a Warlock one, which I enjoyed Warlock when I was a kid. That one I think I might be able to buy outright. There might be a buy now bid. That's what another reason why I like to find the more niche movies that I can usually get them cheaper and do a buy now. Like the Blind Fury, I was able to get that one $15. And I bought it right out of the gate. I was like, fuck yeah, we're getting Blind Fury. We are doing this, Rutger Hauer. And it looks pretty great. Lit up. Like the movie poster of him like cutting off guns with his sword. Cutting off the barrels of the guns. Like he's got some magical sword. It's made of vibranium or something. It can just hack right through that. Which is what is that from? Is that the vibranium? That's from I think Black Panther. The the Mandalorian's steel. It's not vibranium. It's Beskar. Beskar steel. Rutger Hauer in Blind Fury, was he using Beskar steel? That is a solid question. Very solid question. Ugh. I still have the outfields stuck in my fucking head, damn it. I just want to use your love tonight. I really need to find out what that squeak. Hopefully it's not picking up in the audio for this too much. I know I can hear it. I'm hoping the mic isn't picking that up though, but it is annoying the shit out of me. is yeah, that's I hope it's just a filter. If not, I don't know. I might have to get something fixed. I'm not sure. Maybe I should go in there after I record this and just kind of peek in there, see if I can figure out where the sound is actually emanating from. Again, I don't want to replace the filter until, you know, I'm stickler. I've got those. I still got a couple of those filters left. And it seems like that sound did start around the time I started using those filters. I'm hoping that is the case. But I guess I'll see her shortly. At least in a few days. Once I get those posters done, they're the hiding the wires parts. I'm going to take at least probably a few weeks off from doing any renovations to the house, at least, hopefully. So I can just get back on my sleep schedule, even though I'm working a lot of overtime, and the heat is insane. That just saps it right out of me. I'm really hating summer now that I'm a steel worker. It used to be, you know, my favorite time of the year. Be able to go out and do shit all the time, running in the heat. Loved it. Running in the heat. Fantastic. Now, I would work in the heat a little bit, depending on what I was doing previously. Because sometimes we just didn't have working AC when I worked the old job. But it wasn't, and it still wasn't anywhere near what it's like being a steel worker and welding all day. Because you know what? I wasn't welding. I could wear shorts. Thinking back about it now, and even at the hottest it ever got when I worked at Magnet, and I could easily go back and do the hottest days there when I worked in the warehouse, which I did all kinds of shit there. But when I worked in the warehouse, usually in the warehouse, that's where they didn't bother running the AC much, and half the time it didn't work anyway. So it would get a little warm in there. But now it's like, oh, dude, hold my beer. You don't have to have a welding jacket, pants, fucking helmet, safety glasses, steel-toe boots. Really, really big socks, just so if hot slag goes in your boot, doesn't burn the shit out of you. I didn't have to do any of that. I had it easy. I don't know where I was going with that. It's just the heat really just is tiring. I did go to the dentist yesterday. That was fun. Didn't have any cavities. I had my bite adjusted because the last filling I had, I think it had a little bit too much on it. I had to get it shaved down a little bit because didn't seem like I was closed my mouth quite all the way and caused me a little bit of issues. So it feels like that's better now. Feels like that's better. I think I've been going to Washington Smiles there for, I want to say, 16, 17 years now. It's been a long fucking time. That's, I do like going there. Dr. Raj is the one I usually go to. I've gone to like pretty much all the dentists there though. Although I don't, they had a few newer ones now. I don't know. I'm not sure how many dentists they have there currently. But I see Dr. Raj. I would say the majority of the time I've seen Dr. Raj. Anyway, I did hear that, I want to say it's July 3rd. Let me recheck this. Don't know for certain. Here we go. Oh, July 2nd. July 2nd, InfoWars is going to be back online. Watch out, gay frogs. InfoWars, July 2nd. We are days away from just a few days after I post this. InfoWars will be back online. But of course, Tim Heidecker is going to be running the show. So I'm pretty excited about that. And they are going to be, you know, roasting the shit out of Alex Jones. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of making fun of that. There's going to be, it's going to be great. It's going to be epic. anyway, That's going to be fantastic. I did what I was going to mention earlier when I was talking about Micro Center. I was just kind of messing around in my browser, checking them on my tabs here. You know, just perusing stuff, maybe some stuff to talk about. The prices of computer shit still continues to go through the fucking roof because of AI. These fucking data centers, you know, buying all this shit up. All the hard drives, graphics cards, you name it. The fucking, mainly it's the hard drives and the RAM that's just going through the roof. But that's also driving up the costs of every fucking electronics out there, basically. All your, you know, your video game consoles, your PCs, everything's just going through the fucking roof. Phones. Because they're stealing up all the parts for a lot of shit. Well, the Apple Mac Mini, which just like 4 or 5 months ago, I want to say, the base model was $400, which I feel like I should have bought one. I love the old one. I have like the first version of the Mac Mini from like 2004-ish or maybe 2000. I don't remember. It was early 2000s. And I loved that computer. I'd like to have a Mac again. That's... But I thought about getting one when it was $400. And now it is fucking double what it was maybe 6 months ago. I have no idea when it was that low. But they definitely had it much cheaper at one time. But like last week, it was $600 for this thing. Now it's $800. It is fucking insane how much they're fucking charging for this shit. And it's all because of these data centers buying up all the fucking, all the shit to where there's... nothing left. I mean, they are taking all, there's way too much demand and not enough supply. So it's, you know, raising the prices through the fucking roof. And actually, you know, Grand Theft Auto 6, they just made it to where you could pre-order like yesterday or a couple of days ago. And it's coming out sometime November. I don't remember the actual release date. You know, I thought about it. I know a lot of my friends from work, they're going to be hopping on the Grand Theft Auto. They're going to be playing it. They're going to be doing that. And so, you know, I thought about, you know, I'll probably get it. The cheap version of it is $80. I don't really feel like spending $80 on a game. I haven't really been playing video games much in a long while. But, you know, if all my friends are doing it, I'm going to be the good little lemming and, you know, jump off the cliff too. But I think it's something like 600 gig or something ridiculous. Let's see here. GT, oh god damn it. 6 file size PS5. File size PS5. I don't give a fuck what I don't know if there's an exact. This game's radar. This is published yesterday, so maybe they have an idea on this. It says, considering current trends, I would make a conservative estimate that the GTA 6 file size will be at least 120 to 130 gig. Could easily be significantly more. A 2024 post from GTA 6 Intel linking to a new, now deleted story claiming the file size would be closer to 200 gig, but take that with a pinch of salt. Another consideration is that the physical edition will only include a code to be redeemed for a digital copy of the game. That's not a physical copy. And while this is likely so Rockstar can continue development right up to launch day, there is a cap of 128 gig on Blu-ray XL discs. No one wants to go back to the days of GTA 5 on Xbox 360 spanning multiple discs. While the above thoughts apply to the PS5 and Xbox Series X versions of the game, there's also GTA 6 on PC to think about, as PC games traditionally take up even more hard drive space than their console counterparts. However big the file size is, the GTA 6 preload will be available a whole week before the game launches on November 19th, which at least gives you a few days grace to upgrade your hard drive or delete other games to make room. You won't be playing anything else, right? I think I've got on my PS5 currently like 80 gig or maybe 88, 90 gig-ish left. It wouldn't be enough for GTA 6. And I don't know what I would really want to delete off there. I haven't played many games. I guess I could probably delete some stuff to free up enough room for GTA 6. But the more convenient way to do it would to be just buy a fucking hard drive. So, I priced them on their fucking Amazon had their Prime Day. I don't think it's over already. They had their Prime Day just, you know, for like a couple days there. Prime Days, plural. But they had stuff on sale, and even for like a 1 terabyte hard drive to put in my PS5, because I was like, the easiest way for me to just put this game in my system was to drop another fucking hard drive in it. But the cheapest one with fucking sales on Amazon for a 1 terabyte was like over $200. That was on sale. Like, holy fuck, man. Holy fuck. It does look like Micro Center has better deals. Jesus fucking Christ. There is an 8 terabyte one, which 8 terabyte would be fantastic. But, I don't know if it's one you can put in your PS5, but the price for it is, I just read the stats on this. This is mind boggling. I would never pay this for any fucking hard drive. Unless I would, I guess maybe if I had, a lot more money than I currently do and it was the last hard drive I would ever need in my life. If I could store every video game in history, maybe that might be a different situation. But this is a Samsung 9100 Pro 8 terabyte Samsung 5 NAND TLC NAND V8 PCIe Gen 5 times 4 NVMe M2 internal SSD. And it reads read speed up to 14,800 MBPS. What is that? Millibytes per second, I think. Anyway. Oh, man. This is on sale, too. The sale price for this drive, 8 terabyte, that is a large hard drive. I think that's a pretty much as big as you can get these days. $2,719.99. That's the sale price. And you save $800. According to this, you save $880 with that sale price. So its current MSRP is $3,599.99 for a fucking hard drive. That is fucking mind-boggling. That is beyond fucked up, man. That should not be a thing. Should not be a thing. Holy fuck. There's a fucking 4 terabyte, which I've got a 4 terabyte in this PC right here. There's a 4 terabyte. I want to say, maybe I spent $200 on that, if that. And it might even be a Samsung. I don't remember what brand it is. But it's a decent brand. It's a good brand. I bought it quite a while back now, a couple of years ago, I guess, at this point. But I want to say I spent maybe $200, if that. Probably less than $200 on it for 4 terabytes. This 4 terabyte here, $800 on sale. Its MSRP is, according to this, $1,799. I really need to look and see what brand mine is, because, man, I might have to rip that fucker out and sell it. Maybe not. Holy shit. I got to take a picture of this and send it to some people. Like, this is fucking insane.
That is fucking insane. I would never even spend that much on a hard drive. I felt like when I bought my 4 terabyte, I want to say it was like 175. And I want to say maybe 150, 175 at the most. I really don't remember. Holy fucking shit, man. This is insane. That is heartbreaking. And there are cheaper 4 terabyte drives. That is fucking insane, man. The one for like $3,000 for the 8. If only I had had the foresight to buy, you know, a bunch of fucking hard drives when they were just a couple $100 for these massive ones, you know? This shit is insane, man. Fucking insane. That is just madness. I can't believe that, man. That is, I believe it. I realize just how insanely large these data centers are. And just out of curiosity, I haven't priced RAM in a while. I'm good on RAM, though. I got enough. I got, what, 64 gig of RAM in here, I think. I got two sticks of 32. Damn it. Let's see here. PC parts. Computer memory. There we go. Computer memory. It's all computer RAM. Let's check that out. Whew. One stick of 16 gig is on sale for $204. Wow. If you're doing 32 gigs, what half of what I got right now. I've got one for on sale for $369. Again, I spent, man, I don't even think $200 on RAM. And I got like 64. It's just fucking insane, man. All the prices on this RAM is just fucking obscene. 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 Is this even DDR5? Yeah, okay. At least it's DDR5. That makes it slightly better. Which I do have DDR5 in this system. I did have some really nice DDR4 in my old tower. And, I had like 64, I think. Maybe even more than 64. I don't remember how much gig of RAM I had. But I had, I think, at least 64 in there. I know I had at least 64. It was probably 64. It was really high-speed DDR4 RAM. And it was, again, like, I don't even know if I spent $100 on that. just insane, man. It is not cool. Not cool. Is that stuff... If I get GTA 6, I'd love to put another hard drive in my PlayStation, because I don't think I want to play it PC. If I'm playing Grand Theft Auto, I got to do it on PlayStation. That's what I've always played it on. I really feel like I need a controller for that. I don't want to do mouse and keyboard for Grand Theft Auto. I'd like to just go play it on the projector downstairs. Anyway, that is maddening, and I do have to do paint some more. So it's just spray painting, though. I should probably open the door when I do that. I probably won't, though. But I only need to be in there for like a minute to paint. And I am wearing an N95 mask, if that makes it slightly better. So I don't want to get COVID from the fumes. No, I just don't really want to breathe in the paint fumes directly. That shit gets really in the air. And anyway, yeah, that's really all I've got. I'm going to get probably GTA 6 at some point. I haven't bought a Grand Theft Auto since San Andreas, so a long fucking time ago. But I imagine I'll probably get GTA 6. Am I going to pre-order it? I don't know. I don't know about all that. Yeah, what Fox says. He's... all for me not doing that.
Calm down, buddy.
Okay, so as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.